WKJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In girls' regional final basketball play last night, classes 1A and 2A were selecting their state tournament representatives with regional finals. In class 1A last night, Adair Casey moves on to the state championships. They make their second trip to the state tournament, first in a while, as they beat Kingsley Pearson 74-61. London Vice had 35 points to lead the way for the Bombers as they punch their ticket to the state championship tournament. Also in class 1A last night, Bedford upended Stanton in overtime 56-51. Rockford down Tripola 60-49. Newell Fonda over George Little Rock 72-53. Janesville beat Midland 40-39. Linville Sully over English Valleys 54-35. Colonesco topping Martinsdale St. Mary's 54-31. Burlington Notre Dame was an 80-62 winner over Winfield Mount Union. In Class 2A regional finals last night, it was Woodbury Central outlasting Trainer in double overtime, 83-78. South Central Calhoun beating Panorama 50-43. Des Moines Christian over Fort Dodge St. Edmund 48-47. Northwest Webster beat Dyke New Hartford 45-37. It was Hudson over North Butler 45-32. Western Christian beat Pocahontas Area 89-81. North Lynn over Iowa Valley 67-34. And Cascade beat Iowa City Regina 51-46. Those winners all move on to the state championship tournaments. In Class 1A, the pairings look like this for Adair Casey. They'll play their first-round state tournament game next Monday, March 3rd. It'll be a 3:15 contest, and we'll have it for you here on KJAN, as 8th-ranked Adair Casey will face number 3-ranked Burlington Notre Dame. Also in Class 1A first-round action, 4th-rated Colonesco will open the tournament that morning with number 6 Linville Sully. Top-rated Newell Fonda will play Bedford. That's an 11:45 contest in the morning. Number 2 Janesville will face number 11 Rockford as the 1A tournament gets underway. Also on Monday, the 2A tournament starts with Cascade, number 2 ranked, facing Northwest Webster's ranked 15th. Hudson, number 4 rated, will play 14th ranked Woodbury Central, and number 5 North Lynn will play 12th ranked South Central Calhoun. Top-rated Western Christian and Des Moines Christian will battle in a first-round matchup in the opening game of Tuesday's action in Des Moines. The 3A pairings have already been set as well, as number 2 Crestwood will face number 8 Mondorant Farrar. 3rd-rated Clear Lake will play number 6 Unity Christian. Top-rated MLC Floyd Valley faces 12th-ranked Center Point Urbana. And number 4-rated Mediapolis will play number 5 Williamsburg in first-round play next Tuesday. Well, last night in boys basketball tournament play, Class 3A district semifinals were held in Atlantic last night as part of a doubleheader. The Atlantic Trojans were held to just 2 points in the second quarter and had only one field goal in the fourth quarter. And won. 56-41 was the final. The Trojans beat the Creston Panthers last night. Atlantic coach Alan Jenkins says his team won it with defense and with free throws.
I thought we were really good defensively, and our guys had to be very sharp because of how we were rotating tonight. We started with a face guard on Wolf, and he's a great player. He's the leading scorer in the conference. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal at times, and we had to try to keep him off the boards too. But anytime Tristan came out, Brendan went in, Garrett went to Wolf. We had a three-guy rotation every time we subbed, so that's a lot of communication defensively, but we scored 2 points in the second quarter, and you get beat in a game like that if you don't guard. And we continue to guard through those stretches. I thought we had some good looks. We forced a little bit in that quarter, but it was a great start to the second half, and our guys settled in and handled pressure late and knocked in free throws.
Well, Jenkins said it was a real good team effort. Guys like Nick Podaisky stepped up. He had 14 points.
He's a very capable shooter. All he needs is a couple shots to go in, a couple good games, and now he has confidence. He's going to shoot the ball with confidence on Thursday. And we knew coming in that Wolf was going to take either Ryan or Garrett, and that somebody else was going to have to step up. Tristan and Nick were aggressive early in the game, and that was key because we knew that we had to get something out of those games. We talked about Brendan, Tristan, Nick. We knew they had to score around 20 tonight. I think we got 22 out of them. So that was by design. They were very sharp.
And then there's Ryan Hawkins. He's playing with a stress fracture in his foot, and Coach Jenkins was pretty impressed.
Ryan Hawkins is the toughest kid in the conference, absolute toughest kid. I mean, it's well out there that he's playing in a lot of pain right now. And I don't know how many kids step out on the floor. And then his line's unbelievable. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 5 steals, 3 assists, 2 blocks. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better night. He was active from the get-go. And I'm proud of all our guys.
Well, for Creston, Jay Wolf had a big night. He had 29 points, but the rest of his team scored only 12 as they came up short last night. Atlantic moves on to the district finals on Thursday night, where they'll play Glenwood in a game at Shenandoah. Glenwood defeating Winterset 79-36 last night, holding the Huskies to just 1 point in the fourth quarter as they ran away late. Also in 3A district semifinal play last night, Heartland beat ADM 83-63. It was Perry over Denison 70-60. Carroll beat Boone 72-43. Ballard over Green County 82-63. All those winners advance. Also last night, 4A sub-state quarterfinal round play saw Lewis Central a winner 69-44 over Thomas Jefferson. The Titans move on. So does Abraham Lincoln as the Lynx post a 76-56 win over Sioux City West last night. Well, Syracuse lost its number one ranking in the latest Associated Press men's basketball poll following back-to-back losses to Boston College and Duke last week. The Orange almost had back-to-back-to-back losses as they barely ended that two-game skid with a road win in the ACC last night. Fourth-ranked Syracuse blew most of a 12-point lead in the last 8 minutes and then used one final defensive stop to squeeze past Maryland 57-55. The Orange led 49-37 with 7:54 left, but allowed Maryland to close to 56-55 with 47 seconds left. After C.J. Fair missed a jumper for the Orange, they blocked a driving layup by Nick Faust to keep Syracuse out in front. Tyler Ennis had 20 points. Fair had 17, helping the Orange to improve to 26-2. They're 13-2 in the conference. Kansas won Monday's other top 25 game as Nadir Tharp had 19 points, and the fifth-ranked Jayhawks claimed at least a share of their 10th consecutive Big 12 championship as they beat Oklahoma 83-75. Tharp was among five Jayhawks to score in double figures, with Wayne Selden and Andrew Wiggins each adding 15 points. Joel Embiid had 12 points and 13 rebounds, helping Kansas improve to 13-2 in the conference. Iowa basketball players have been ordered to stay off of Twitter. Hawkeye coach Fran McCaffrey says he made that decision after senior Zach McCabe lashed out at Iowa fans on the social media site who were critical of his play in Saturday's loss at home to Wisconsin.
You know, I've told all the players to shut down their Twitter accounts till the season's over. So they're not going to be on Twitter, they're not going to be tweeting, they're not going to be getting tweets. And I think that's probably the smartest thing to do, is focus on these last few games and the Big Ten tournament and go from there. And then when the season's over, they can open them back up.
Well, the Hawkeyes open up a busy week tonight as they're at Minnesota. They have a rescheduled game Thursday at Indiana. Then they host Purdue on Sunday.
Tough game Saturday with a really good Wisconsin team. Hard-fought game, had a chance. Now we prepare for a very busy week with three games, and appreciate Purdue's willingness to work with us. And I think everybody handled a very difficult situation very well.
McCaffrey believes that the Hawkeyes can handle that extra game.
After the Wisconsin game, we just get ready for Minnesota. We have a two-day prep, and we'll go up there and play them. We'll fly over to Bloomington right after the game. It'll be a one-day prep, but we had already prepped for the game, so it's not like, we're starting from scratch.
McCaffrey says the players actually prefer a busy schedule.
Yeah, it's a busy week, but I'm not so sure that this time of the year the players wouldn't rather play games anyway. I think they're tired of practicing by the time you get to the end of February, and I think would really welcome the opportunity to just prepare for a game and go play a game.
Well, Minnesota's 17-11 after a lopsided loss at Ohio State, and the Gophers are on the NCAA tournament bubble.
Past is irrelevant. Futures are irrelevant. We put ourselves in a good position right now with three games left. We could choose to look at it one way, or we can choose to look at it another way. We're choosing the positive here. You get two top 20 teams, you get to play them two games in a row, and then you finish with a good Penn State team at home. So we're excited about those opportunities, and we're going to make the best of them.
That's Minnesota coach Richard Pitino, who says the Gophers bounced back with a spirited practice. Gophers are 6-9 in the Big Ten. Iowa sits 8-5. We'll have the game tonight for you. Our coverage of the Iowa-Minnesota contest tonight gets underway early. 5 o'clock is pregame. 6 o'clock is tip time up at the Old Barn in Minneapolis. Iowa State senior Melvin Edgem is one of the top candidates for Player of the Year in the Big 12 Conference. The native of Toronto is the leading scorer in the Big 12 at just under 19 points per game, and he's third in the league in rebounding at nearly 8.5 per game.
I think he's improved from year to year. He's had a great opportunity in the last two summers to play on two different national teams with Nigeria. 2 years ago, and then with Canada this past summer, and he's worked extensively on his game. I think the biggest improvement that he's made is with his perimeter skills, not only with his shooting, but with his playmaking ability and his ability to handle the ball. So he's really become a go-to guy for us.
That's Iowa State coach Fred Hoiberg, who says Edgem is just as successful off the court.
You know, being a first-team academic All-American is an unbelievable honor for Melvin. And, you know, he's everything a student-athlete should be. He's got his priorities right. You know, he's got a major in history and a minor in business. And he just, when you have the ability to do so many things, you know, not only on the court but off the court, it's going to prepare you for life in whatever direction it takes you. And Melvin's going to be successful, whatever he does.
Well, the Cyclones return to action Wednesday night. They'll host West Virginia. In the NBA last night, Milwaukee beat Philadelphia 130-110. Dallas over New York 110-108. Golden State topping Detroit 104-96. The LA Clippers beat New Orleans 123-110. Utah downing Boston 110-98. Iowa State has signed junior college defensive lineman and former four-star recruit Trent Taylor to a letter of intent. Taylor, a 6'2", 250-pounder out of Lakeland, Florida, will be eligible to play as a junior next season. Taylor signed with Tennessee out of high school but played just one game for the Volunteers. He spent last season at Butler Community College in Kansas and had 3 sacks and 10 tackles for loss. Taylor was a first-team Class 6A selection by the Associated Press in 2011 coming out of high school. Well, some 60 to 90 big league catchers received some pretty good news on Monday. Major League Baseball and its players have adopted a rule limiting home plate collisions this season. Most of them are banned, with some exceptions. The one-year rule experiment allows collisions if the catcher has the ball and is blocking the runner's direct path to home plate, and if the catcher goes into the base path to field a throw to the plate. The rule bans players from deviating from a direct path to the plate in order to initiate contact with the catcher or any other player covering home plate. A runner violating that rule will be out even if the fielder drops the baseball. Elsewhere, the Baltimore Orioles finalized an $8 million one-year deal with slugger Nelson Cruz, who hit .266 with 27 homers and 76 RBIs in 109 games for Texas last season. The 33-year-old Cruz served a 50-game suspension last year for violating baseball's drug agreement. He turned down a $14.1 million qualifying offer from the Rangers in November. The Detroit Tigers have agreed to contract terms with 7 players for the 2014 season. The Tigers have worked out deals with right-handers Jose Ortega, Luke Putkonen, and Evan Reed, left-handers Kyle Lobstein and Drew Smiley, infielder Nick Castellanos, and outfielder Stephen Moya. Smiley is expected to move into the rotation after an impressive 2013 showing in the bullpen. Texas manager Ron Washington has been given a 1-year contract extension through the 2015 season. He's the winningest manager in franchise history with 611 victories over 7 seasons. Washington has led the Rangers to their only 2 World Series appearances. And the end may be in sight for NHL players competing in the Olympics. It all began in 1998 when, for the first time, players from the world's top professional league took part in the Winter Olympics. For several years, the NHL has been thinking seriously about abandoning the Olympics because several owners are upset at seeing their multi-million-dollar investments playing for free and sometimes getting injured while their arenas sit empty for 3 weeks in February. The league and the players' union are working to stage a hockey World Cup in 2015, possibly lessening the impact. From all indications, however, most players believe nothing can replace the Olympics. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.